Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari.
Jaya
Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jai, Shishvada Madhava Ki Jai. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 32. Okay. Kvachit drumva adhikarte shu griheshu rangshnam yata vanara suta dina vatsalo vya vayakshana. You out there? Yeah, what is chant? Die. Sometimes. Kvachit. Sometimes. Druma vat. Like trees. As monkeys jump from one tree to another. The conditioned soul transmigrates from one body to another. Aihika arteshu. Simply to bring about better worldly comforts. Griheshu. In houses or bodies. Rangshyan. Delighting. In one body after another. Either in animal life, human life, or demigod life. Yata, exactly as Vanara, the monkey, Sutadara Vatsalyaha, very affectionate to children and wife. Vyavayakshana, whose leisure time is spent in sex pleasure. Just as a monkey jumps from one tree to another, the conditioned soul jumps from one body to another. As the monkey is only captured by the hunter and is unable to get out of captivity, the conditioned soul, being captivated by momentary sex pleasure, becomes attached to different types of bodies and is engaged in family life. Family life affords the conditioned soul a festival of momentary sense pleasure, and thus he is completely unable to get out of the material clutches. Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.9.29, Vishaya Kalasarvata Syat. Bodily necessities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are all very easily available in any form of life. As stated here, the Vanara, monkey, is very attracted to sex. Each monkey keeps at least 24 wives, and he jumps from one tree to another to capture the female monkeys. Thus, he immediately engages in sexual intercourse. This way, the monkey's business is to jump from one tree to another to enjoy sex with his wives. The conditioned soul is doing the same thing, man, transmigrating from one body to another, engaging in sex. He thus completely forgets how to become free from the clutches of material engagement. Sometimes the monkey is captured by a hunter who sells his body to doctors, so his glands can be removed for the benefit of another monkey. All this is going on in the name of economic development and improved sex life. But the Papa Ki Jai. So of course, yeah, you see all this in all the stores and the advertisings and everything else, all this paraphernalia to increase attraction between the opposite sexes, one to the other. Yeah, it's just like monkeys. Benefit other monkeys. Yeah. So, any comments? Okay. Monkeys. Oh. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Daughter, sister. Yeah. This is my sex life. Yeah. Yeah. Well, monkeys. Wow. Okay. Next text. In the material world, when the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not care for Krishna consciousness, he simply engages in different types of mischievous and sinful activities. He is then subjected to threefold miseries. Out of fear of the elephant of death, he falls into the darkness found in a mountain cave. Purport: everyone is afraid of death, and however strong a materialistic person may be, when there is disease and old age, one must certainly accept death's notice. The conditioned soul becomes very morose to receive notice of death. His fear is compared to the fear experienced upon entering a dark mountain cave, and death is compared to a great elephant. So this is, of course, the forest of material enjoyment, and it goes through it twice, right? This is the first time or the second time. This is the second time, right? Yeah. Because Maharaj Rahugana meets Maharaj, Rajad Bharat, right? Rajad Bharat, yeah. And then they get engaged in a discussion, and finally Maharaj Rahugana realizes Rajad Bharat's a great sage and suffer thy soul. And then he says, please instruct me. And he gives him this analogy of the forest of material enjoyment, which is, you know, Bharat Rup Darshan. And then then Maharaj Rahugana says, well, I can't understand that, you know. So he says, please. So now he goes through one after another, explains what are the monkeys jumping from tree to tree? What is the mountain cave? What is the elephant? Like that. So I think this is the second time, you know. And after that, Maharaj Parikrit tells Sukadeva Goswami, he said, wow, Maharaj Rahugana is more intelligent than I am. I couldn't understand it even hearing it two times. So explain it again. So then Sukadeva Goswami explains it a third time. You know, so I'm not sure which one we're on here. It's the first, the second, or the third time, I don't know. But it's Virat Rup Darshan. It's just like, what is this material world? How is it functioning like that? But here's from a very, very personal kind of form like that, with all this jumping from one tree to another to enjoy sense gratification, like monkeys, and becoming trapped by these things and exploited, you know. And then everybody is like, if you go into a mountain cave, it's very terrifying what's in there, you know. And then, you know, what else? And the elephant's like, you know, very terrifying. You meet an elephant in the jungle, you know, he can stomp on you, you know. What else do we have? The conditioned soul suffers many miserable bodily conditions, such as being affected by severe cold and strong winds. He also suffers due to the activities of other living beings and due to natural disturbances. When he's unable to conquer them and has to remain in a miserable condition, he naturally becomes very morose because he wants to enjoy material facilities. Sometimes conditioned souls exchange money, but in due course of time, enmity arises because of cheating. Although there may be a tiny profit, the conditioned soul ceases to be friends and become enemies. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8 Pungsa Shriya Matuni Bhavametam Tayora Mito Hridaya Grantim Ahuhu Ato Guriha Kshetra Sutapta Vitaya Janasya Mohayam Eva Aham Mameti. The monkey-like conditioned soul first becomes attached to sex, and when intercourse actually takes place, he becomes more attached. He then requires some material comforts, house, apartment, food, friends, wealth, and so on. In order to acquire these, he has to cheat others. And this creates enmity even among the most intimate friends. Sometimes this enmity is created by the conditioned soul and the father or spiritual master. Huh? Unless one is firmly fixed in regular principles, one may perform mischievous acts, even if one is a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. We therefore advise our disciples to strictly follow the regular principles, otherwise the most important movement for the upliftment of humanity will be hampered to due dissension amongst its members. Those who are serious about pushing this Krishna consciousness movement should remember this and strictly follow the regular principles so that their minds will not be disturbed. Die. Shloki die. Yeah. Yeah. Not, I mean, everybody who works, you know, you go working for different companies and stuff, realize people are not following the regular principles there. You know, So therefore, they become greedy for different kinds of material satisfaction. And to get that, because nature doesn't give it naturally, because you want more than is just coming, then you got to do some kind of dishonesty, everybody's engaging in selling products, trying to inspire people to buy computers they don't need, right? Or an automobile, you can roll the windows up by turning the knob, right? Then you got to have a microchip to make your windows go up and down. And I think the only thing they're lacking now is voice-operated windows or something like that. Up, down, right window up, left window down. Or you have to have this, otherwise your fingers will develop a new kind of disease from pushing the button like that, So all this is unnecessary, and so you got to inspire people to spend their money for this. You can get money to have an elaborate house or something like that, Of course, the guys who are building the house are trying to cheat you. So you get this house and everything is improper, doesn't work, costs too much, all this kind of stuff, So everybody's cheating, thinking they're going to get something, but the people that, you're going to get it from are also cheating. So it ends up nobody's satisfied. So in ISKCON, as long as we're keeping these principles, the four gross principles, okay. You see people that can fight and have disagreements, but it's nothing like, what goes on in the material world, because their goals are much more intense and stuff like that. A big difference, and you see that, In material society, people, even try to assassinate each other. Somebody may make up some story about somebody else or distort the truth a little bit to create something like that, but it's nothing compared to what's outside. And so there's two problems. It says regular principles. We think this is four principles. But he also means regular principles like getting up early, chanting around strictly, hearing Shema Bhagavatam every day. And then we're satisfied. And also we have fear of God. So we and then we don't engage in these activities. And then Krishna consciousness movement can go on, offering its benefits like that. Anybody else have any comments about this? They're related, one and the other. If you're not chanting your rounds, you can't follow the four principles. If you're not following the four principles, you can't chant nice rounds. They're all connected like that. Complex. I used to take the money to the bank. I was a treasurer in the temple. And it was Cocker National Bank, and I had big on the first floor of a 5-8 story building, and nice glass thing on the outside, and then there was tables and chairs and nice formica counter, and everything appeared very nice, But then as I started to go there, every 2 days I would go with the deposit and stuff. And I really began, and after a while they get sick and tired of hauling all these bags of coins, and they just had me go directly into the vault, Of course it was locked inside like that different places, but there was, I would go right into the vault, put the stuff there, and they'd walk in with me and stuff, I started talking to people and stuff, And they started finding what was happening. And behind the counters, they had papers stacked up that were falling over. It wasn't a complete catastrophe, but it was things here and there and papers and stuff, and it was a lot different than what it looked like on the outside, And then they told me that, what had happened was that the bank just didn't have enough managers, to manage all their branches and stuff. And so one guy was there for some time. He was actually from the International Banking Office in San Francisco, and he was really always complaining he had to be a branch manager, And then the national banking inspectors had come there and given them this warning, unless they improve this thing, like the security and that kind of stuff, that they're going to, force them to close it. And then another lady came, and she was the same thing, like the branch manager, and there wasn't an assistant manager that was supposed to be, and, all these things. They couldn't open the doors to the bank. In the morning, there's two officers were there, and she had to wait one day for 45 minutes for somebody else to come from another branch to open it. And it's like, but devotees, they have you know, some higher perspective. You know, Krishna's my friend, that's why I'm doing these things. And so they don't care so much about keeping all these, you know, all these false things going to impress the ordinary people. Because, you know, I got Krishna. Why should I care about impressing ordinary people so much? You know, you have some idea. You know? But the other people, they're, you know, really into like this thing of keeping their prestige and stuff. You know? And so again, you know, my experience, again, you know, whenever I've worked for anybody, it's just like, you know, you keep some impression up to the other people like that, and you know, it's amazing how somehow like internally things are going on, and the customer comes in, and everyone changes, all bickering stops, and people like that. Yes, sir. You know, really, it's just, you know, I don't know. The state's like that. State gods, your job is a little bit less. Yeah, because you got your tenure, I guess, tenure, you know. Abraham Lincoln said, a countryman, you know, some guy from the country, simple guy, a countryman between two lawyers is like a fish between two cats. Yeah, it is. And it's all, you know, keep these, you know, front like, I'm your friend, I'll help you, and this and that. But everything is just, you know. Yeah. And also, too, the thing is that sometimes, you know, a tiger, if he's had, like, you know, a nice meal and stuff, you can scratch his throat and he'll purr, you know. So these karmis and stuff, when they have their gratification for some time, they're peaceful and stuff. You know? But because they want so much, it's not enough. And then you start to become angry. And then, you know, the same tiger will kill you then. You know? So you see them in the right condition, right time. Sometimes even it's not just an artificial presentation just to, you know, keep society up. But actually it's because they just, you know, some rather temporarily they've had some gratification, you know. So they feel like, oh, you know, peaceful for some time like that. But it's very superficial. You know? And so you start putting a little pressure on, you know, the horns come right out, and the fangs, you know. Yeah, I know. It's just like, you know. So that's my, you know, my experience is that, because, yeah, you know, it is, it's just, or else you find that actually that these people that are nice are nice. You know, maybe they're engaged in, you know, different bad activities, but they're not really bad people. They're just innocent. They just don't know, like, what's wrong like that or something like that. And maybe they're good Mormons or something. They really help other people, and, you know, and they have, you know, the proper family life and, you know, work to help each other. And so you may find they actually have some kind of happiness like that, you know. You know? So, but that's going to be more in Boise, Idaho, and other places. You know, in San Francisco, you have, like, these, like, you know, if different anti-cocaine advertisements, you know. For example, cocaine is God's way of telling you you're making too much money. It's like a science like that. You know, it's like, because cocaine addiction is so common amongst rich people. You know, poor people can't afford it so much. They have other intoxication. But it's just like, when you, it was so much wealth, it's unbelievable. One time we were going over, Pacific Heights. Just driving through there in our Hare Krishna van with the door falling off or something, you know. And I realized this is one of the, you know, people, you could argue that San Francisco is the nicest city in the world. Maybe people would argue what it is like that, but, you know, definitely people say, well, yeah, you could say that, you know, it's like that. And Pacific Heights is the nicest area in San Francisco. And you're driving there and you see, like, these very well-dressed, you know, school teachers who are teaching these, the children of, you know, the 8-year-old children of these rich, super rich people outside talking about Greek literature or something, you know. And in the windows are these, like, these 6-foot tall statues of Buddha. And, you know, it's like, it really is like, you look at, it's just driving through there. It's like a whole, like, you know, opulent experience like that. You know, three Mercedes Benz in the garage like that, the big ones. You know, that, you know. But But then I was, you know, it's still the same thing. Inside it was just this hell of so much money and then so much time and opportunity to develop all these very complicated social, you know, intrigues and uncle so-and-so and aunt so-and-so, and then so much cocaine addiction and everything else, you know. So it's the more money you have, the more suffering you have there, because you can develop it beyond belief, you know, really, you know. And then finally, you know, suicides and everything else. You know. Yeah. Here's the way, it's a very religious place.
Yeah, I mean,
compared to other places. So this is the forest of material enjoyment. But then, you know, to ensure that, you know, it's regular principles, you know, of religion. You know. And, you know, Catholics have to go to the Mass. They have to take Mahaprasad once a week. You know, the blood and body of Christ, this whole thing. You have to go and register, and if they don't show up, then you're supposed to both go to confession on Saturday, and then you'll go to the Mass once a week. And there's a whole thing they read, like a whole kata they read about different. Throughout the year, it changes like that. Yeah. And they have some hymns, singing songs. Basically, it's bhakti yoga. You know, the statue of Christ, you can light a candle in front of Christ, and like that, you know. So, yeah, if they follow those principles, and there's some level of, you know, consciousness, you know, like that. You know? So some degree of you know, actual nice activities, behavior, you know? But it's nothing like pure devotional service. You know, or Prabhupada, you know? So our regular principles are very important. You can pervert those too, niyamagraha. In ISKCON, you can follow all the regular principles and be a demon, you know. But it's difficult because Krishna will make it very difficult for you. You know, because they're not just like mechanical, but they're designed by God. And so if you're trying to cheat, you know, like that, and then he'll make it very difficult for you to, you know, follow all his principles and stay in ISKCON and stuff like that. You know? Yeah. So, sometimes having no money, the conditioned soul does not get sufficient accommodations. Sometimes he doesn't even have a place to sit. Wow. I remember this. Nor does he have the other necessities. In other words, he falls into scarcity. And at that time, when he is unable to secure necessities by fair means, he decides to seize the property of others unfairly. When he cannot get the things he wants, he simply receives insults from others, thus he becomes very morose. Very interesting. He decides to cheat others. I was thinking some of Pachanika Pandit. Chanika Pandit says it's very rare to find a poor man who's completely honest and a beautiful young girl who's completely chaste. Like that, you know? So this is the same point, is that if you're poor, then you start to just, pressure's there just to, you know, steal things like that. You know, pilfering? Word pilfering, you know? You know this word? Yeah? Okay, it means like when you, for example, you work for a big manufacturer of office supplies. So you have, you know, those, you know, whole giant boxes of pencils and all this stuff. You know, pilfering means just the employees, they take this stuff from the warehouse, you know, some pencils, some, you know, it's just real common. And in big businesses and stuff, the employees be stealing stuff, you know, from the manufacturer and stuff like that. You know, one guy was trying to steal an entire automobile from Ford by taking it home one piece at a time. Some story about that. I don't know what he did. It was like, supposedly eventually he did it or something like that. You know, you see over like 10 to 15 years, like somebody has some story like that. You know? But yeah, when you're poor, then it's very heavy temptation to also start stealing. You know? Of course, you're poor, but probably poor because you were stealing in the first place. And so by stealing, you get even more reaction. You know? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. This is material life. Wow. You know, when Prabhupada was in San Francisco, when a reporter asked him, are there problems in your temples? And Prabhupada laughed and said, this is the material world. There are problems everywhere. You know? So we see even when Krishna was personally present in Vrindavan, there were demons, you know, causing the girls to have miscarriages. You know, so this was so terrible. You know, that was Krishna in Vrindavan. You know, we don't speak of any place else. You know? So if we have, you know, our only hope is to stay Krishna conscious. Like, you know, there's a forest fire and it's burning on all sides, and there's a stream or something, and you're running down the stream bed like that, following that through the, you know, or up the stream bed. You know. So that way, our only hope is to stay Krishna conscious in the material world. We have an umbrella and we can go through all this. You know. Other than that, especially in Kali Yuga, it's, you know, Prabhupada's saying you can't imagine how bad it's going to get. And, you know, I've seen some things, some stories and stuff. Some of these places in the inner cities where the, you know, really destitute people live with no support or anything else, and it's just like, I read one story one time and they described it, it was unbelievable. You know, it was like, I couldn't even read, like, five. You had five stories from San Francisco Chronicle in the Tenderloin area, and I read you know, one or two of them, I just gave up. It was just like that incredible, you know. And then, like you're saying, when people started to become intelligent and ability, and they just use that, you know, that's what the Upanishad says, right? You know, is that ignorance is worse than knowledge. And worse than that is so-called knowledge, you know, where somebody is using their intelligence to cultivate stupidity and suffering, right? You know, I mean, by stealing something from somebody, you get a reaction. You know, what's this guy's reaction going to be for you know, stealing $50 billion? You know, I mean, it's going to be like, it's like, I don't know how he's in it, because you've got to pay it off. You've got to pay it off. You know, so what are we going to do to pay this off? It's going to take a long time. You know, yeah. Yeah, so maybe you'll get intelligence and do good work on a big scale too. You know? But in the end, the whole thing is this, you know, nectar destruction. You can't counteract a sinful activity by a pious activity. Because you know, you also then will create more reactions like that. So the thing is just, you know, surrender to Krishna, right? Maybe I'll mention that here. I don't know. Let's go on. Okay. It is said that the necessity, purport, It is said that necessity knows no law. When a conditioned soul needs money to acquire life's bare necessities, he adopts any means. He begs, borrows, or steals. Instead of receiving these things, he is insulted and chastised. You rascal beggar. Right? As soon as you're a beggar, you're a rascal, right? Unless one is very well organized, one cannot accumulate riches by unfair means. Even if one acquires riches by unfair means, he cannot avoid punishment and insult from the government or the general populace. There are many instances of important people embezzling money, getting caught, and being put in prison. One may be able to avoid the punishment of prison, but one cannot avoid the punishment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who works through the agency of material nature. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Daivihiyesha gunamayi mama maya duratchaya. Nature is very cruel. Mm. She does not excuse anyone. When people do not care for nature, they commit all kinds of simple activities, and consequently they have to suffer. You know? So but unless we have, you know, Jayananda one time giving this class, and people have all this suffering and stuff, and he says, devotees always have an ace in the hole. That means we're playing cards. Yeah, like an ace, a really high card, kind of just stored there in case you need it like that, you know. So it's a common phrase in English like that. He says, devotees always have this, like, if things get too tough, they pray to Krishna, you know. They may not do it all the time, but if you know, things get really bad, and you just start chanting and stuff, and it's just off. And you can find it actually very nice. Actually, then all the suffering actually becomes very nice because it just forces you to become detached from this world, you know. It's like, God, otherwise you're just so tempted to, well, I'll get a little more of that. It's not so bad, not so bad. But everything was miserable. Then you just chant, and it's just like, ah, your mind is not attracted to these things. You know, oh, forget it. You know? And by enough experience, finally the mind actually becomes convinced that there's nothing in this world. Because you know? All the so-called pleasures are just like, you know, Bhakti Trithamara gave the example like one clown. He he attracts you to something and he hits you with his bat, you know, clowns like that. Yeah, fooled you again. You know. So that's every pleasure in the material world is based upon some kind of suffering. It's all duality like that. Yeah? And so therefore after some time you become convinced, you know, but you know, by either suffering again and again and again with some consciousness so you can experience it, you know, or else by hearing about it, you know, like that, right? Yeah. 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 And again, if you know that you're going to do this, you're going to suffer, you know, then it's not pleasure. It's not pleasure. It's just like, I know that by squeezing this button, I'm going to get hit in the head by this, you know, by this bat, you know, like that or something. It feels good or something, but it's just, you know. It's just, but it's just time. Time creates this illusion, you know, like that. You know? There's no happiness in the material world. It's zero. Leave Krishna, there's nothing. How do you create happiness? Well, you suffer heat, then cold is nice. You suffer cold, then heat is nice. You know? You suffer thirst, then liquid is nice. You know, like, but that's it. There's no pleasure. Okay. Yeah. Well, you can if you just give it up. If you just surrender. But we're so attached that we just won't give up. You know, start crying. I can't cry. I can't act like a fool. I got to act like I'm the controller. Sometimes, finally, Draupadi, she was trying to chant her rounds with one hand. But the other hand, she was trying to maintain her honor and her prestige. You can't do this to me. I'm a Kshatriya girl. So finally, she just gave up. And then, you have to surrender and just take and then we discover, I am immortal, I'm eternal, I'm different in this world, the Maha Mantra is different in this world, and I can take short of the Maha Mantra, and then, I'm crying like an idiot or something, and I'm completely humiliated, and, I have no honor, prestige, nothing. Look at her, she's just nothing, she can't control her mind, she's like a street woman. Okay. Because we try and keep our, especially the ultimate is our prestige, and try and keep my respectability. We don't like that as a controller, as a goddess or a god. When we finally give that up, then we can take shelter of the Maha Mantra. So Krishna will go on sending more and more, distress. No, they felt Krishna's presence because they were little by little. They're Nitya Siddhas, but they're showing us the example. Yeah. That's why they were put in that condition to show us how to live properly. But it kept on going like that. It was just you learn, you try. We're not Prabhupada says in 434 in the purport, blind faith is condemned. So Krishna doesn't want that. He wants you just to be faithful to apply what you know, and then he'll adjust everything. He won't put more pressure on you or give you more temptation than as you can take. If you're actually just if you're being as faithful to what you know and surrendering to that extent. But then he'll lead you on, because it's not a natural position. You can never be happy here. So when you become accustomed to taking shelter of Krishna that much and your life and lose some relief, what's up first? First it becomes relief. Then things start to become auspicious. Right, things are falling in line and happening just the right time, place, like that, and like that. And these are different results of bhakti. So Krishna will keep on, giving us, what's the word? Designed doses of happiness and distress, so we can become more and more connected to Him and get out of this thing. And things become more, we can get more relief, becomes more auspicious. And what happens when we come to bhava? And we don't even care about liberation. you know, from distress. We're just so happy with always being with Krishna. He minimizes liberation, and it's rarely achieved. Yeah, bhava is very, very rarely achieved. So therefore, we shouldn't be surprised if we don't see many people in this state of consciousness, or people who can accept this, right, you know, fully, you know, fully. Very rare. And amongst devotees, you should be very surprised to find in ISKCON, you know, many people who can fully understand the philosophy, who fully have accepted it, like that. And so don't be so cheated by all these people. No, the devotees also are going to have their attachments, their problems, and therefore you have to, you know, be in charge of the situation. Don't surrender to them. Being in charge means being everybody's best friend. Yeah? I'm going to help everybody, right? And so this person's crazy, that person's crazy. Okay, this is normal. Bhava bhakti is very rarely achieved. And then finally, because you, know, you achieve it, why are you in the material world? It's like, you know, prima bhakti is, you know. So finally then we go on, and the last bit of our attachment is gone, and we finally wake up our character, and we're pure, you know? And two characteristics of prima bhakti. Yeah. Relief from distress, auspiciousness, that's sadhana bhakti. That's the beginning. Yeah. Yeah. Distress goes away, it becomes auspicious. It's bhava bhakti is rarely achieved, and we derive liberation. And a prima bhakti? Yeah. It's the only way to attract Krishna. Yeah. Yeah, but prema bhakti attracts Krishna, which is symbolized by Radharani, and is characterized by concentrated, impenetrable happiness. It says that. It's how happiness is so concentrated, so intense, it doesn't matter what anybody does to you, they cannot, you know, wipe the smile off your face. They cannot do it. It's concentrated, impenetrable happiness. Like that. Okay, sounds pretty good.
Huh?
Yeah. The one, what was that one? Nasta Prayashu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Yeah. Bhagavati Utamashloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistiki. So I think that's the one Prabhupada's talking about. What's the word? Nishchaya. Nishchayan is in that verse. Nasta Prayashu Badrishu Nityam Bhagavad Sevaya Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, so you're fixed. So Prabhupada said, this means fixed and following regulative principle, not sometimes following them, sometimes not. He said, this means 75%, you know, Krishna conscious, like that. But anyway, that's one verse in the sequence. He says, and then that person then gains like scientific knowledge of the process of devotional service. Not like, well, why is this, why is that? No, you're very clear now. You're 75% Krishna consciousness, and then it's very clear now what you have to do. It's just like that. It's just, that's it. So now you just do it. Yeah. And then you become completely purified. Yeah. So, you know, again, different people, the process is eternal. You know, we can... No, I'm never finished. It has nothing to do with time, you know, like that. It's independent of time factor. You know. So in the beginning, yeah, maybe there's some time of chanting and this and that, but somebody can accomplish this all within, like Dhruva Maharaj did it all within 1 year or something. Was like, he saw Vishnu face to face within 1 year, you know. Yeah. And somebody else may take, you know, 5 or 6 lifetimes, you know, like that, you know. Yeah. But generally speaking, you know, the idea is that, you know, we can finish it off in one lifetime. Yeah. Even if we have some deviations here and there and come back in one lifetime. Because, you know, the body is designed to help us. That's why Prabhupada says that old age is a good friend for a devotee. Right? Because it pushes you to, you know, to become, you know, more Krishna conscious. You know? And if you tell somebody who's like, you know, 35 years old, you're going to die, he says, yes, I'm going to die. You tell somebody who's like 75 years old, you're going to die. He says, yes, I know. He's like, yeah. His memory's gone. All his teeth are falling out. You know, his family is just, you know, sitting there like vultures waiting till he dies to get the inheritance. And you can't digest anything. It's, you know, it's like, you know, and so then you're really serious about, you know, about the process then, right? You know? And you can see how it's actually working, you know, like that, you know? So it's like, good friend. So, you go on chanting and advancing, and then nature is helping you the same way. It's Krishna's arrangement being by your, so in one lifetime, then you can achieve, complete purification, like that. Otherwise, we're going to come back and to the forest of material enjoyment again, chased by elements, elephants, running into black caves. What else we got? Jumping from being captured by different people for, torturing us as we jump from tree to tree for sense gratification. Wow. Yeah. One man was sitting in his kitchen next to the window, kind of lamenting. And his wife came and said, "What are you lamenting about now? What's bothering you now?" You know, like that. Yeah. And so he said, 25 years ago, when we were in the back of my car and, engaging in illicit relation, your father came along and put a shotgun through the window and said, marry my daughter or go to prison for 25 years, like that. And he said, yes, I remember that. And he said, 25 years would have been up today. So, everybody, you get involved in this, and you wish. There's an American folk song that says, "I wish I was a single girl again." Like that. I wish I was a single girl. But you get it trapped. There's different ways like that. There's family life, or you sign some contract with the government of Singapore. They give you education if you sign a contract to work for them for 5 years. Yeah, these things in India, right? You can go to Singapore. They test people, qualify people. They'll give you an education as an engineer, but you've got to work for out how many years like that. Basically, it's called, in other countries, it's called indentured servitude. And if you try and escape the country, they'll, whack you with sticks and stuff. So you get captured by these different things. Like, you buy a car. You put all your money and buy the car, right? And you can't buy another car because all your money's gone. So you're stuck with this car for 7 years, So one thing after another, we go for sense gratification. You go for sense gratification, you eat something, and then your body doesn't react to it properly, and you can't eat anything else. You got to wait for like 4 or 5 or 6 hours to digest it and get rid of it. So you're always being captured by, these things for sense gratification, like monkeys. Okay. Prabhupada ki jai. Of course, the material environment.